Today's Shir is Masechta Baba Basra, Daf Kuv Zayin. We will begin on Daf Kuv Zayin, Amar Aleph, two lines from the top, Itmar. In our previous Shir, we had the Machlokes of Rav and Shmuel. If brothers had divided a Yerusha under the assumption that they were the only two brothers, and then a third brother appeared, what do we do with that division? Do we have to start all over again, the opinion of Rav? Or Mekamtzin, do we take each brother who is here has to give up from his shear for the brother who now has now arrived? Our Gemara begins a similar discussion regarding the brothers. Itmar Achim Shechalku. You have the brothers who divided up the Yerusha, and then Ba Bal Chayv, and now somebody who their father had owed money to comes and request to be paid back. And he says, this karka, there was real estate that you divided amongst yourself that you have to use to pay my debt. But not the chalka shalachim hem, and he indeed took the chalik of one of them. And the question, of course, the Rishon immediately asks is, why did he pick, and why did he go specifically after the one brother more than the other brothers? And there's a number of explanations how to understand the Gemara. Some Rishonim explain that, as we often discuss, there's a concept of an apoitiki. Apoitiki means apoite koi. The father had indicated when he took upon this obligation and mortgaged the property, that's where the Baal Chayv would be able to collect his debt from. And as the Rishonim go on to explain, Tosfos explains, when we speak in Shas about an apoitiki, there are actually two types of an apoitiki. There's an apoitiki that, as we just said, that you could come over here. This is where you could come to collect what's owed to you. And then we have what's known as an apoitiki amafurish. Apoitiki amafurish is where it was specifically designated you will only collect from this property. So Taisa says, were we speaking here about an apoitiki amafurish, then the halacha would be that, of course, the Baal Chayv collects from that property. And all the other brothers say, well, this is the property that was designated by our father specifically to be used to pay this debt. And once it was used to pay this debt to the exclusion and designated to the exclusion of all other properties, you have we have no further obligation. But if it's a regular apoitiki, not a apoitiki amafurish, so it's not an apoitiki that was designated to that level of designation, that if it was collected from there, the other properties are not anymore mortgaged. A different approach that the Rishonim take is that throughout Shas, we know that there are different categories of property, and there's Igis, which is the best, Baininus, which is average, and Ziboris, which is the poor quality. And they explain that we know that the obligation to pay debts is on Baininus. And what happened over here was that they collected from the Baininus. And again, there's a number of ways of understanding that. One way of understanding it is that there's one brother who got the Baininus. And in fact, that's going to be part of the claim that the other brothers have against him, because they say to him, you got Baininus, and by you getting Baininus, you took the risk that if there will be a Baal Chayv showing up, he will have a claim more to you than to the rest of us. Others say that they maybe all had Baininus, and since they all had Baininus, so on the contrary, since they all had Baininus, he could go after all of the prop, they could go after all of the properties. Others say that there were Baininus and Zaburius, and even though the Baal Chayv goes after Baininus, that doesn't mean that they don't have a right to go after Zaburius as well. And therefore, there's a discussion here, as we're going to see, amongst the brothers, if the debt was collected from one of them, will the other brothers be responsible to reimburse the brother who covered this obligation? So again, Itma says, the Gemara Achim Shechalku, the brothers divided the father's Yerusha, Baba Chayv, and somebody that the father owed money to came, v'notl chelkoi shalachim hem, took property from one of them in payment for the money that's owed to him, Rav Amar Batel Machlokes, the entire original division becomes nullified, and we have to start all over again. Shmuel Amar Viter, the brother who gave up this property, is the losers, and he and the other brothers are keep what they started. Rav Asi Amar Neitel, the brothers who take their share, takes Neitel Revia, Bekarka Revia Vemais. The brother who paid could collect, and we'll just learn the simple pshat. We'll discuss more pshatim when we get to the explanation in the Gemara. If he could collect only 25%, not 50% of what he gave away, but only 25% of got away, and that could be paid either by karka, it could be paid with real estate, or it could be paid by mas, or it could be paid with cash. Now the Gemara explains the basis for everybody's opinion. It says the Gemara, Rav Amar Batel Machlokes. Rav says that if this brother had to give away his share to satisfy the money that his father owed, Batel Machlokes, the entire original division, is nullified. We start all again. Why? Says the Gemara, Kosova, could it is Rav's opinion. Achim Shecholku, the brothers that divide the father, the Yerusha that they got from the father, Yarshim Heim. Rav's opinion is that we say Yesh Breira, that it was retroactively understood that the portion that each brother got is the portion that was always really belonging to them from their father. And therefore, that status that they are Yarshim, and by saying that they're Yarshim, we're actually saying that just extensions of the father remains even after the Yerusha was divided. And therefore, just like the father owed the money, and of course he has to use his assets to pay the money he owes, they who are Yarshim and are therefore extension of their father have that same obligation. And that doesn't change just because they practically, for practical reasons, divided up the properties amongst themselves. And therefore, since they continue to be Yarshim, they continue to be extension of the father. So they're all in this together with the amount, with the money that is owed by their father. And therefore, the person, if one of them was the one that practically laid out the money, he is not himself. He's a Yairish for all of them. And since he's just one Yairish amongst all of them, the halacha will be that he has to be reimbursed if he laid out money to pay to satisfy the debt that their father had. Shmuel says Viter, the brother who gave up his share is the one that's going to lose, and all the other brothers will not have to reimburse him, because Shmuel's opinion is Kesava Achim Shecholku, that when brothers divide up a Yerusha, the way the halacha looks at that is lekuchas. It looks like a deal. Because Shmuel's opinion is, ein breira. It's not that we could retroactively say that the portion that this one got was really his, and this one is his, and they're just an extension as Yarshim. But rather, the father left an estate. The father passed away. And what happens is now, they own that estate together, and they, for practical and for obvious reasons, make a division amongst themselves. I'll take this, you take that. But what that division actually represents is a business deal. I'm giving up my share, and you're getting your share instead. And when we have lekuchas, as we often discuss in Shas, lekuchas, these kind of deal, when you have a buyer and a seller, you could have somebody who sells something b'achrayis, that he's going to take responsibility, that if what he sold is taken away, he will have to reimburse the buyer for his loss. But we have also shaloi b'achrayis, where the seller sells something and he doesn't remain responsible should it be taken away. And Shmuel says the brothers who divide a Yerusha are viewed like lekuchas, like they're doing a transaction, selling and buying to each other, but shloi b'achrayis. And of course, the Rishonim all immediately ask, we've learned so many times in a shiurim that achrayis toya soifa hu. The definition of achrayis toya soifa means that if the achrayis clause is omitted from the sale document, we assume it was just a mistake because everybody who buys something buys it with achrayis. So why here are we saying there was shloi b'achrayis? And the Rishonim answer that there's a difference when there's a regular sale, when I'm selling you a piece of property. So if I sell you a piece of property, you're not going to agree to buy the property unless I take this responsibility. Here, it's not that I'm selling you a piece of property, you're paying me for this piece of property. And of course, you would never pay me for a piece of property without my taking a chrayas. With Yarshim, we're dividing the property. And since it's not your regular sale, there we don't automatically suggest that achrayis is automatically included in the deal. And on the contrary, since there was really no money exchanged, so therefore it's a proof that it's not your regular type of situation, and we don't automatically assume there's achrayis. Not only don't we automatically assume there's achrayis, but on contrary, we could suggest that that's the way they entered into this relationship, saying that everybody is going to get what they get, and nobody is loy achrayis, is not going to be held responsible. So the way we're learning now is that achrayis, that when we have a situation of a Yerusha being divided, and according to Shmuel, it's the halacha views it like a business transaction, but unlike a regular sale a property where we say there's an assumption that there's a chrayis, here we don't have that assumption at all. The Rishonim debate that there's a third type of transaction, and that is a chalipin, where there's a barter. So how does the halacha look at chalipin? Does halacha look at chalipin like a regular mekach u'memkar, like a regular sale? And we're saying that by a regular sale, we assume that there's a chrayis, that's why we say a chrayis toy sofer. Do we say, by a Yerusha being divided, we say there is no chrayis? And the question is, what do we compare a barter to? Do we compare a barter to a regular sale, or do we compare a barter to a case of Yerusha being divided? So one of the very big nafkaminas between Rav, who says that the division of a Yerusha is still a continuation of that Yerusha, versus Shmuel, who says that they consider lekuchas. One is our Gemara, because if they're lekuchas without a chrayis, the brother who has to give up what he gave up has no recourse to the other brothers. But the other nafkamina will be when Yovel comes. We know that the halacha is that when Yovel comes, all transactions, all real estate transactions, go back to where it was originally. So if we say that the division of a Yerusha amongst the brothers is the same as, if we say it's the same as lekuchas, it's the same like a regular business deal. So just like by a regular business deal, the halachas of Yovel apply. And when Yovel comes, everything goes back and we redivide everything. We would have to start the negotiation, the division all over again. So too would be halacha according to Shmuel by Yarshim, that everything would go back to where we started. But if we follow the opinion of Rav, that they remain Yarshim under all circumstances, so therefore according to Rav's opinion, even when Yovel comes, that doesn't affect the original division of this property, and they remain Yarshim, halachas of Yovel don't apply to Yarshim, and everybody will retain the property that they got at the time of the original division. It's Rav Assi's opinion, who says, is Misapkale. Rav Assi is not quite certain how to treat this case. Do we look at these two brothers as Yarshim, or do we look at these two brothers as Lekuchas? If they yarshim, so then, as Rav said, the division would have to be redone. If they're considered lekuchis, as Shmuel said, there's no recourse. So since Rav Asi is not certain, Hilkoch Neitel Revi'a B'Karka Revi'a B'Mos. So as I said, the Rashbam's Pshat, which is the Pshat that even Rashi says he prefers, is that because we're not sure, if we follow the opinion of Rav, this brother that didn't have to give up anything will lose 50%. If we follow Shmuel, he has to give up nothing. So because we're not sure what to do, we divide it, and he only has to give 25%. And then the Gemara continues to say that not only does he have to give only 25%, he has the choice to give that 25% in karka, in real estate, or he could give that 25% in mas, in cash. That's the preferred pshat. Rashi does suggest another pshat, that the Rav Asi means to say, is going to have to give, this brother is going to have to give 50%, and that 50% should be given half in cash and half in real estate. But the other pshat is the preferred pshat. Says the Gemara, Amar Rapapa Hilchsa B'chol Chanish Shmaitza, in the case that we spoke about in yesterday in our Shurim, where the brother showed up, in our Gemara, the Baal Chayv showed up, the Kamtsim, the halacha is that you don't redivide in yesterday's Shir, but rather we follow the opinion of Shmuel, that everybody should give a share to the third brother. And by a Baal Chayv, the halacha would be that the second brother should give off part of what he gave away. Amemar says no, that when these types of circumstances arise, then butla machlaikus, the whole original division is nullified, as Rav has been teaching us, and says the Gemara, that is indeed the halacha. The hilchsa, the halacha is that butla machlaikus, the entire division, when these new circumstances come up, the whole division is nullified. Says the Matan Rabbanan, Shloisha Shiyardu L'Shum. We spoke in our previous year that when a father passed away and he left over an estate, and from that estate the almana daughters must be supported. So the halach is that Bezdin takes those assets that estate has and sells them and uses that money, evaluates them, assesses them, and then uses that money to support these people. But now, as we're learning, obviously, we need to have an assessment process. So Tana Banan Shalosha Shiyardu L'Shum, three dayanim who come to evaluate the value of the property. Echar Amar B'Mana, one says that it's worth 100 dinarim, 25 sloim. The second dayan says it's worth Mosayim, it's worth 200 dinarim, which is 2 mana, and Echer Omer that says b'masayim. So b'shnayim Omer b'masayim. I'm sorry. Echer Omer mana, one says 100 and two say 200, or Echer Omer b'masayim, one says it's worth 200. B'shnayim Omer b'mana, and two say it's a mana. So here the halacha is quite obvious. The halacha is though as everywhere else in halacha. Batli Yochav b'miyutai. Torah Akdosha says, Acher Rabim L'Hatois, we follow the majority, two against one, and we follow the opinion of the majority. However, continues the Gemara, where Echer Omer B'mana, one says it was worth 100 mana, 25 sloim, Echer Omer it's worth Esrim sloim, which means 80 dinarim, and a third dayan says B'shloishim, which is 120 dinarim. What do we do? One Tana says, Nidim B'mana, that we're going to judge that it's worth 100. Rav Elazar bet Tzadok Omer, that's nidin betishin, that's treated that they have to pay, Bezdin will ultimately say that it's worth 90 dinarim, and Acharim Omerim Oseh Shumah B'neihem, we take, what is the difference between the lowest number and the highest number? That means we take between 80 was the lowest evaluation, 120 was the highest evaluation. We divide that, which is 40. We divide 40 by 3, which will give us 13 and a third. And we'll and therefore we'll say that it's worth 80 plus 13 and a third, which is a total of 93rd and a third dinarim. Says the Gemara, to explain each one of these three opinions, what to do in such a situation. Says the Gemara, mandam anidim emana, the opinion that says that we're going to assess it at emana, milsa metziyasai. Milsa metziya means that we follow we go with the median, we go with the average, that if we have three different opinions, we follow the one that's in the middle. So the 100 is the one that's in between. The 100 is between the 1 and the 100. The question is, when the Gemara is saying that we go lefi mitziyasai, there's a machlokes rishonim how to make this determination. Is the determination made by the number, that we take the three numbers and we come up with the median number? Or is the determination made according to the dayanim? We take the three dayanim opinion, we take the opinion of these three dayanim, and we follow the one that's in the middle. Machlokes Rambam and Rashbam, what the Gemara means, we go with the one in the middle. The Rabbi Elazar Tzadik said, Nidim Batishim, he says that it's going to be 90. How does Rabbi Elazar Shimon come to that? Rabbi Elazar Tzadik come to that opinion? He says the Gemara Kasava. He says that this property is Tishin Shavin, is really worth 90. The Haida Kama Esrim. So the one that said 80. The reason he said 80 instead of 90 is because people make a mistake and they say they'll underestimate by 10 or overestimate by 10. So says the Gemara, the one that says 80 is because he made a mistake by 10 less than it's really worth. So instead of setting 90, he said 80. The katoa esara la chayre. The high the common mana, and the one that said 100, made also that type of mistake, a mistake of 10, but in the other direction. The high the common mana, katoa esara la kame. He made a mistake and said that the property is really worth 10, more than really 100, which is 10 more than it's really worth. It's really worth only 90. So says Rabbi Elazar Tzadik. These two dayanim, the way he's explaining, really both are in agreement. They only made this common type of mistake. And therefore, they are two of the three dayanim. And as we said a moment ago, we always go with the roiv of the dayanim. So we follow these two dayanim, and they're both really saying that it's worth 90. The third dayan, who said that it was worth 120, is completely mistaken because it's only worth 90, and he said 120. And since he is bottle, we don't count him versus the other two dayanim, and that's why we end up with the 90 number. Ask the Gemara, why is Rabbi Elazar Tzadik explaining it this way? Ad Rabba, we could say the explanation very differently. Hay Arameva Esrim Shavim. The property is really worth 110. V'hay the Kama Mana, so the one that said 100, the Kataya Sar L'Chari, again, making a mistake of 10. And therefore, instead of saying 110, he said 100. Hay the Kama Shloshim, and the one that's saying 120, Kataya Sar L'Kamei, is also making a mistake of 10, that instead of saying 110, he's saying 120. So yes, we're looking to try to find the roiv. So here we can have the same type of roiv, that the two dayanim, the one that's saying 100 and 120, are really the ones that are in agreement, and they're in agreement that's really worth 110. Answers the Gemara. So we could take the approach that they both really agree it's 90. Do we have two that really are saying that it's 90? We can take the approach, there are two that are really saying it's 110. Why are we following the opinion that says it's 90 instead of approaching it and explaining that they're both agreeing that we should have two that are agreeing that's 110? Answers the Gemara, Nekoit Trei Mias Trei Kam B'yotcha, says the Gemara, the ones that are saying that it's the take the first two, the Metaris Mana Lemefkana, because they both are in agreement that it's certainly not worth more than 100. We have two; these two dayanim are both agreement that it's not worth more than 100. And therefore, if we want to look for consent, we look for a majority, that's the majority that we should follow. Then we had the third opinion, and that was the opinion of an Acherim. Acherim Oimrim Oysa Shimon Beinayim. We take the difference between the lowest number and the highest number, and then we divide it and add it to the lowest number, Meshalshlim. Says the Gemara, what is the basis of the opinion of the Acherim? The Kasavri Haya Aratish V'tlos V'tlos V'shavya. Because they hold that that's really the value of this property is really 93 and a third. V'hai Dekama Esrim, the one that says 80, Katar Tlais V'tlos L'Acheri, is making a mistake by 13 and a third, undervaluing. V'hai Dekama Mana, the one that said that it's worth 100, Katar Tlais V'tlos L'Kamei, is making a mistake the other direction. He's saying that the property holds that the property is really say 106 and 2/3, but within who the lay mitfei, and he really should have said, but he didn't say that. He didn't say 106 and 2/3. He said 100, because the reason he didn't say it, he heard the other dayan say 80, so he felt that it's inappropriate to say such a huge difference, 106 and 2/3. So in order to stay within reason between the two of them, what he did was, he said 100. But he really believes it's 106 and 2/3. And he made the mistake, which is the mistake that we're saying is the type of mistake that Cherem hold is made of the Shalshim of the third. So of course the Rishonim and Achronim ask a question. So base the way we're understanding the reason that the second dayan said 100 is because he was embarrassed to say 106 and 2/3 because it would be such a huge difference between what his colleagues said 80 and he should say 106 and 2/3. So that would be only applicable if he heard that other dayan already state his opinion. But what would be the halacha if that dayan who said 80 was not the one who stated his opinion first? If he didn't say his opinion first, then everything here would be very different, because we can't add that he's saying what he's saying because he heard that other dayan say 80, and now he doesn't want to be so vastly different than him. It's only going to be a good svara if he heard that other dayan use that number. But what would be if he didn't hear that dayan use that number? So the Mashah says that even if the dayan did not yet formally say his opinion of 80, the three dayanim are sitting here, and it's not just that they walk in and each one says a number. They begin a discussion where everybody starts to say what they think is the right number. And this dayan, who really, as the Gemara just said, believes that it's worth 106 and 2/3, sees that his colleague is going to say 80. Whether he formally said it or not is immaterial. He sees that that's the direction that his colleague is going in. And since he sees that that's the direction that his colleague is going in, that's why he doesn't want to, as the Gemara just said, as we just explained, want to make such a big difference. And therefore, instead of saying what he really believes, 106 and 2/3, he says 100. Mm-hmm. Ask the Gemara, why are we explaining the story this way? Adrabba, why don't we say that Hai Arab may have a tlos v'tlos v'shavya? This property is really worth 113 and a third. V'hai deka m'mana, the one that said 100, his statement is very understandable. The katoi tlos v'tlos l'achorei, he undervalued it by 13 and a third, which the Cherem hold is the number that people make this kind of mistake. V'hai deka m'shloshim, the one that said 120, Tla Tlos V'Tlos L'Kamei, really holds that the property is worth 100, really holds that the property is worth 13, he should have, is really worth 126 and two-thirds. But the kind of the comment face, why didn't he should have said that. Why did he say 120? Because, as we just said, he didn't want to be so different than his colleague. Sava mistoy the comment stafinikul hayachavroi. I didn't want to have such a huge discrepancy where my colleague is saying 100 and I'm going to say 126 and two-thirds. And therefore, I said 120, but the property is really worth 113 and a third. Why are we saying that that the value will be 93 and a third? We should say it's 100. We should take the approach that's 113 and a third, 20 more, 20 denarim more. Answers the Gemara, the kite mi'es trei kama biyotcha. We have to follow the opinion of the two, because as we keep on repeating in our shir, there is always the concern of being honest and following the roiv, and both of these opinions, b'tayrus may lemafkali, they both are under 100. So since we have two dayanim that are keeping the assessment under 100, we can't radically change that. So now we have this three-way machlokes. Says the Gemara, what is the halacha? Amar Rav Huna halacha k'cherim, the halacha follows the cherim. Amar Rashi, so says Rashi, tama da cherim lo yadinan. We don't really understand the opinion of cherim. Hilchs avinan kavasayu. Do we follow their opinion? Says the Gemara, because this explanation, this number of a 13 and a third, is sort of a number that we don't know from where they got that from. Says the Gemara, however, Tana Tayana Gaila, Ois and Shuman Beneim, we make Dave Paskin like the Achirim, that we take the lowest number and the highest number, and we divide it by a third. Amarava, Hilchazak Dayana Gaila, and the Aloch is like the Dayana Gaila, the Paskin like the Achirim. Aravashi, Tama, and again, he Ravashi comments, Tama Dayana Gaila Yadinan. We're not quite certain what is the reason behind the Yana Goylem, and now Hilchsav Dinuk of Asayu, how can we paskin like them? So our Gemara has had here a very interesting discussion. What is the halakha when we have these three opinions? We have three different opinions. How do we approach this? And I saw a very interesting shaila. There was a son that comes home from his from school, and he brings home his report card, and his report card is that he got a 70 in mathematics. And the father asked the son, why was that your mark? So he said, there were three tests this term. One I got a 68, one I got a 72, and the third I got 100. So the father said that if that's the case, you should have gotten an 80. If we take these three marks, 168 plus 68 plus 72, and we divide it by 3, the median is 80. So I don't understand why your teacher gave you a 70. He says, I don't know. You could go speak to the teacher. And the father came to speak to the teacher. The teacher was obviously a Talmud Chacham. Not just a Talmud Chacham, but he was an individual who learned the Daf Yomi. And he learned, and he said to the father, when the father came to discuss the grade, he said to the father, well, you ought to come to the Daf Yomi Shir. And if you learn our Gemara, you'll see that we don't just always take the average. Our Gemara did not necessarily at all take the average. So saying that the way to deal with such a situation is by taking the average, our Gemara seems to say that that's not the approach. So the father said to the teacher, I actually do learn the Daf Yomi, but the Gemara that we're learning here is not similar to the case of the marks. In the case of the marks are here, the three tests are here to determine what was the level of my son's knowledge of this subject. He says, if you would have only given, instead of giving three tests, each test was 10 questions, and these were the marks that my son got, you would have given one test with 30 questions, and my son would have gotten the same amount of questions right and wrong. The mark would have been this 80. If you gave the three tests at three different times, but it's really one long test because the tests are what determine his grade on his report card. Here, it's not a question of a grade. Here's a question that the Yonim are trying to make a determination. What is the value of this property? It's a very different type of situation, and therefore you can't use our Gemara as a method for determining the grade. Says the Mishnah, he tells somebody, I'm selling you half a field, and he didn't identify which half. And this property has better parts to the field and parts that are not as good. The halacha is, Mishamnim b'neim, they divide the property because he said he's selling a half a property. Mishamnim b'neim v'noit l'chatz sadeyu. That means they each get a half of the property and the buyer gets half of the, and the buyer will get half of the field. And that means they're going to divide will the both the good and the bad. If he said chatzia b'dorim, that the half I'm giving you is in the south side of the field, chatzia b'dorim ani moichalach, b'shamda b'neim, again v'noitel b'dorim. And the Gemara will explain this halacha. For whom a kabbalah, says the Mishnah, where somebody sold a half a field to somebody else, who's going to have to make the gate around the field? Says the Gemara, says the Mishnah, the seller, the Kambal of Mokmageder, he has to make the place, he has to give the place where they're going to make the fence. Chritz, they used to have a ditch next to the fence, and then they had another smaller ditch next to that ditch, the Gemara will explain. And he said, that's all on the obligation of the seller. The kama charitz, what is the width of this charitz? Shisha tfachim. And what is the width of the ben charitz? Shloisha, three tfachim. Begins the Gemara. Amar Abchiva Rabba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Halakeich notel kach shabai. When we learned in the Mishnah that he gets, that they divide half, that means that the seller could keep the better half, the buyer gets the weaker half, but he gets more land. That means he gets the seller has the prerogative of getting the 50% in quality, not in quantity. And he'd rather get less in quantity, but get the better property. Says the Gemara, Amle Rav Chiya bar Abba Rav Yochanan, how can you say that that's pshat in the Mishnah? The Mishnah said, "Vanan misham de b'neim tanan." The Mishnah said that each one will get 50% of the good and 50% of the bad. Here you're saying that all of the good belongs to the seller. Amalei, so Rabbi Yochanan said to Rabbi Chibar Abba, "Ad achalta kefnesa b'bavel, while you were eating dates in." While you were eating dates in Bavel, Tagmina Mesefa, I understood the Mishnah from the second half of the Mishnah. The Tani Sefer, we continue learning the Mishnah. He said, Chetzi b'dor mani maichalach, well, I'm selling you the southern half. Shamna b'neim, v'noitel chetzi b'dorim. Says the Gemara, if we're saying that he gets half in the south side, amayim shamna b'neim, why does he get any, why is there any need to start evaluating what's the good, what's the bad? Chotzi v'darim amalei. He said he's giving you half the field in the south side, so you should get half in the south side for better or for worse. Ella, what do we say when what do the Mishnah mean when it says chotzi v'darim? It meant ledevei. It meant according to the value. That means he'll get maybe more in the south side, that he'll get more or less, but he should end up getting half of the value because the seller is keeping the better part of the field. Hachanami, that's why he explained the ratio as well that way. So our Gemara says that we find that he used, Rav Yochanan used a sharp expression to Rav Chiya, why you were eating dates in Bavel. Says Tosfos that what did he mean to say? What he means to say was that a person who wants to be successful in Torah can't indulge himself. And he was saying to him was, while you were indulging in eating delicious dates in Bavel, I was working to understand the Mishnah. Because if you want to be able to understand the Mishnah, you have to not indulge. You have to be ready to work hard to learn. The Chavis Yar says, how do we understand this Gemara? That the way he spoke to him and he told him you were eating dates and he was sort of scolding him, is that the way that they spoke to each other? Says the Chavis Yar that what he meant to say was kafriyos. Kafriyos are dates which are not fully developed. And what Rav Yochanan was saying to Rav Chiya was that you didn't learn the entire Mishnah, as the Gemara says. It's important to understand the entire Mishnah before you want to say an opinion in the Mishnah. And what he was saying to him was, you should have learned, you just like somebody who eats unripened dates. He was too quick to eat the date. You were also too quick to say pshat in the Mishnah this way. You shouldn't have said the Mishnah. You shouldn't have said pshat until you learned the Mishnah. The Chavis Yar continues to discuss that throughout Shas we find that sometimes Tanoim and Amoraim spoke to each other in sort of a sharp way. And usually, as in our Gemara, he says it should not be taken at face value. There's an explanation why that type of wording was used. And even if there isn't an easy explanation, sometimes Rebbeim speak to their Talmidim in such a fashion because they're trying to do what's right for the Talmidim to get them to learn the way they're supposed to learn. And therefore they may sometimes feel the need to speak somewhat sharply. We learned that the seller is the one that has to take upon himself the Kabbalah of Makom Geder and the Charitz and Ben Charitz. Says the Gemara, Charitz is Mechutz LeBen Charitz. That means the Charitz is further away from the fence, or Ben Charitz is closer to the fence. The Zev Zer, Mechayr Begeder, they're on the other side of the field. Kedei Shleitei Chayuk Hafetzes. The reason they made these ditches is that the animal should not be able to jump over the fence into the field. So says the Gemara, if you're making the ditch for that purpose, so then shouldn't it be adequate, as the Gemara, Valerav Charitz, V'loy Levit Ben Charitz, all a Charitz should be done, we don't have to have a Ben Charitz. Answers the Gemara, Aidi de Ravach, because the Charitz is wide, it's like we said in the Mishnah, it's 6 Tfachim wide, Kaim Begavei V'Kavtza, it's going to be easy for the animal to stand in it and jump over the fence. So they asked the Gemara, so then Levit Ben Charitz, V'loy Levit Charitz, only make the 3 Tefach, and there won't be room for the animal to stand there. I did the Katim, says the Gemara, if it's going to be too narrow, the animal won't need to go into the ditch. Kaima Sasa V'Kavtza. Therefore, it'll stand on the border of this Ben Charitz and be able to jump over the fence. So that's why, in order to make sure that animals should not be able to jump into the property, they made the charitz and a ben charitz. Ask the Gemara Kama ben charitz le ben charitz. So we said that the ben charitz is 3 tfachim, and the charitz is 6 tfachim. And how much space is there between the two of them? Says the Gemara, a tefach. Hanulach base kor, hanulach base kor, hanulach base kor.